Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. In this conversation, we are joined by Umber Roberts, who shares her journey with a Kundalini awakening, a powerful and transformative spiritual experience that had a profound impact on her life. Umber was fortunate enough to be on a spiritual path throughout her life, which in some ways prepared her for the several stages of awakening that take place before a Kundalini awakening. She shares with us what those stages are, how they happen, and more about what exactly Kundalini energy is. Umber then shares the incredible experience that took place as the Kundalini energy activated within her body and she entered a state of feeling tethered to the earth, the furthest reaches of the cosmos and all of life. While this sounds like a beautiful experience to have, which Umber says it was, what had awakened within her became a destructive and destabilizing force in her life as she now lived between realities with intense energies running throughout her physical body. Throughout this episode, Umber emphasizes the importance of finding authentic teachers to guide you after a Kundalini awakening, to help you work with the energy moving through you and support you with the work needed to help you return to a normal life. Umber's experience is a more uncommon form of awakening, but unique and special in its own right, as Umber has seen the divine energy that flows through all of life and has even felt herself as that. Umber shares with us the many fascinating insights into the true nature of reality that she's learned through this experience and many others she has had. This is a truly fascinating conversation. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate. I am here with my co-host Amanda. And today we are joined by Umber Roberts. And Umber is here to share with us her journey with a Kundalini awakening, a topic that we're excited to share with you. Just to give you a little background on who Umber is a kinesiologist, intuitive healer, liquid crystals practitioner, writer, poet, and mystic, working with clients both in person and online all around the world. She's also a longtime yoga practitioner, hatha yoga teacher, and spiritual aspirant. She has experienced many awakenings in this lifetime, but the most powerful to date was a Kundalini awakening in 2016 that permanently changed her life in a multitude of ways. The initial experience was undeniably powerful, and it was also the beginning of the end of life as it had been, including family estrangement, a short stint of homelessness, nearly being killed in a car accident, and moving interstate twice. While the energies are now much more integrated, Umber is still deeply connected to the multiverse while walking in the physical world. Her gifts have continued to stabilize and unfold as the energetic retrofitting journey continues. And Umber now feels ready to share some of her experiences with others because she knows she's not the only one going through these. And while Umber says she isn't here to act as a teacher in this respect, she is a storyteller and is willing to share some personal and vulnerable experiences to assist others on their path. Umber, thank you so much for coming on the Awakening Conversations podcast and sharing this journey with us and our listeners.
Thank you. I think, as I was saying to you earlier, Kate, I think that your podcast is a really great perfectly timed thing that is needed in these times. So thank you to both you and Amanda for making it happen.
Yeah, thank you. So today we are going to explore your Kundalini awakening. And as I was telling you before we started too, when we wrote a list of originally at the time of conception of this podcast, we wrote out all the different ways people can have awakenings, and Kundalini awakening was one of those, and we were both like, well, I don't know anyone who's had one of those. I wonder how we're going to bring that forward. So really looking forward to sharing your journey, because this is
a particular kind of spiritual awakening that can be extremely challenging. And as you said, like, changes your life in a multitude of ways. And from what I've read, learned, you know, heard from others, it's basically like you're never going back from one of these. All of our spiritual awakening experiences are that in some ways, but these ones particularly can be quite destabilizing and, from my understanding, can take quite some time to work through. Before we dive into your story, would you be able to share with us a little bit of a definition for those listening? What is Kundalini and what is a Kundalini awakening, so that we can get clear on that before we dive into the depths of your story?
Sure. I wanted to say, first of all, thanks for that intro. I'm not a scholar. I'm not an expert in these things. And there are people who are experts in this area. I think in certain places in America, you can even do PhDs in these topics. So, you know, I can only tell you what I've learned personally from my own experience and from my own research that I've gone through, just to try and understand what has happened. I wanted to, I guess, start by saying, first of all, there's lots of different experiences that we can have as our energy bodies wake up. And I'll always remember one of the very first ones that I had when I was much younger. I was meditating and I started hearing bells ringing while I was meditating, and I knew there was no bells ringing anywhere near me, and I was so excited and I thought, oh wow, this is like a really big accomplishment. And that's how they can all feel, you know, like, and so part of this journey is just, there's usually so many layers, so many experiences, and we can often mistake what we're going through as something else. But before we even get to a Kundalini awakening, there is a preliminary experience that occurs for people that's called pranottana. Pranottana is like the beginning of the awakening and releasing of the prana energies. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you know anything about the teachings, but essentially the Kundalini is said to be coiled at the base of the spine, and it is literally the primal life force energy. And I kind of liken the experience to, you know, when you're inside of a plane, you're traveling at whatever speed the plane is traveling at, but you don't really notice because you're in a pressurized cabin. But then imagine taking that trip on the wing of the plane instead. And then you get to really feel all of the rawness of the volume that you're traveling at, and the vibration of everything, and how that impacts you personally. So, you know, all of that energy that drives our existence is coiled at the base of the spine. We have, are you aware, you know, the, what's it called? I think I wrote it somewhere. The medical symbol. Is it called the caduceus? Yeah.
Caduceus.
Yes. And so that is the symbol of the, like, a staff with two, I don't know if they're snakes or they represent them differently. And people often look at it and think, oh, DNA or something like that. But it's literally the central channels of the body, the Sushumna, the central channel, and the Ida and Pingala, which is where, for most of us, until Kundalini awakening starts to happen, that's the main flow of our energy is in the Ida and Pingala. Mm-hmm. And so the pranottana begins, it's hard to say, like I think it probably began years ago for me, like years before this happened, but because of what I was going through at that time, I kind of ignored it and shut it down and kind of went, I can't process this. I was in the middle of dealing with a bunch of trauma. And so the beginning of that process begins through what's called Shaktipat. So Shaktipat is an act of grace, and often it's a transmission through another either embodied or disembodied being. So some kind of being that has that grace of connection to the divine energies, and that then gets transmitted, and that starts to wake things up. So then it's, and I call it like the advance guard, like the beginning of the purification process. And so even in pranottana, you can feel like, oh, this might be it. Like this might be the Kundalini awakening, because it can be quite intense, lots of vibration, lots of altered states, lots of what's called kriyas or the involuntary automatic body movements and things like that. So, and that process can go on for some time. And so the second, like the in the, I think maybe the 6 or 8 months before the Kundalini awakening occurred, for me, that was, it was quite a lot on and off, but quite a lot. So it's working to clear the emotional, the mental blockages in the body, in the energy system. And the thing is that the more that we have to clear, the more intense that process can be as well. Mm-hmm. So when we have a lot of trauma, which a lot of people do, like let's face it, a lot of people have a lot of trauma, whether they're aware of it or not. And so the more that there is to clear, it's literally like anything else that you've got to clean out, your house or whatever, like there's a lot more work to be done. So then all of that occurs, and then essentially our energy begins moving through the nadi system. So the Ida, Pingala and Sushumna are the three core nadis, but in the body, in the energetic body, there are like 72,000 nadis. Nadis are subtle energy channels. So we have, most people know about chakras, meridians, auric fields, but they're just some of our energy body. And I like to think that we don't even know all of our energy body. Systems of yoga have made a study of this, and they know a lot, but I tend to think for everything that we know, there's so much that we don't know. So we have this incredible subtle energy body called the nadi system, and they run like there. You can see diagrams on the internet if you Google nadis, and it's almost like you can't quite see the human body. There's just so many channels. So before the Kundalini awakening, as I said, the energy system functions through the side channels. The opening of Sushumna is a really serious event. It's not to be taken lightly. And it can cause people, you know, like I actually wondered at various points whether I was even going to get out of it alive. I really wasn't sure. And it can cause, you know, loss of identity, like the looking at yourself and being like, I don't recognize that person anymore. I definitely had moments like that where I was like, I don't know what's my name? And I'd look in the mirror and be like, is that me? Like, I'm not really sure. And so I was really lucky that I did have some training and some experiences behind me, because otherwise, yeah, I can totally see how people would lose their mind potentially. So
I just want to say, I wonder how many people have Kundalini awakenings and are labeled as a psychotic break because they don't know what's happening to them.
Yes. And that is, I don't know if you've heard, I don't know if it's a well-known story or not, but you know, there is that story about a shaman visiting the West and visiting a mental hospital and saying these are all people going through various spiritual things. That may be a meme, I'm not sure, but I've heard it a couple of times.
I mean, it makes sense, right?
And because that, you know, if I had gone to a GP throughout any of this, they would probably have given me like antipsychotics or something, but luckily I had enough support so that I was okay. I was, well, relatively okay as I was going through this process. But yeah, big stuff. So yeah, once the Kundalini starts to uncoil, and I'm kind of doing a screwing motion, starts to unwind at the base, starts traveling up the central channel, it's kind of like a rocket ship in some respects. It's just going no matter what. You know, we still do have blockages within the central channel. So for all of the work that the Pranotna has done, there will still be blockages in the energy in the central channel that need to be addressed. But yeah, it's literally like on the way, going to do its thing. And the thing about this energy, it is the divine. It is the aspect of divine that sits in each of us, and it's an intelligent force. It's not blind, you know, kind of like driving a truck into a dam or something. It's literally working through us to open us. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I have this theory that we're each of us is on in the cosmic appointment book at some point in this life or another life or wherever we're at with our awakening experiences. And it's like, this is this appointment time for this person. And now it's that person. That person's another lifetime. So that's kind of how I see it as well. So, yeah, but the problem is we don't know about that as humans. I wish we did. I wish we got a text saying,
you're awakening. Right. Is- You're ready. Hold on.
Yeah. It might make things easier, but then again, it's also part of our part of our experience and our learnings, right? Like, I kind of think that as in addition to Shaktipat, you know, like not everybody who gets Shaktipat also has those experiences. So there are theories about, you know, it's got to do with our karmas, our past lives, our, you know, accomplishments in previous lifetimes as well. So a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily understand in this experience of life. Mm-hmm. So it is still a relatively rare event, but I actually know a couple of people that have also had those experiences now. Like one was my kinesiologist in Melbourne, and another one is a practitioner I work with up here, a craniosacral therapist. So I feel really grateful because it's really hard to explain otherwise to people, and it's really hard trying to work with people who are energy practitioners when they don't have that comprehension as well. So yeah, it's a tricky business. Anyway, so yeah, I guess the Kundalini awakening, as the energy starts to move, whatever is going to happen is what happens for some people. Now, this is where I have made notes later on, but where it does help to be somebody who is in a school learning about subtle bodies and subtle energy practices, that's not always what happens these days now. For whatever reason, that's not where you'll find everybody who this happens to. I do have a background in those teachings, but at the time that this happened to me, I hadn't been in contact with my teacher for several years, and I wasn't even capable at that point of thinking about reaching out to him because I'd lost contact with him. I was just really grateful that I had a practitioner I was working with who did know what was going on, but it is better to have somebody who has that depth and breadth of experience to assist you through this process. Because I think what happened to me is that I ended up getting stuck in that process for a while, and a little bit of what they call prana sickness or kundalini sickness, where essentially, you know, the energies are trying to rectify and unify through the body, but when we don't have the awareness of what to do next to help ourselves through that process, then it gets it's a little bit like a ping pong ball in a chamber, you know, just kind of bing, 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 bing. And so for me, it meant that I had a lot of symptoms and experiences for a long time that I didn't have to have that were quite disruptive. So, you know, literally I remember sitting having a coffee somewhere at a coffee shop, and I looked down at the table and there were like waves on the top of my coffee. And I was like, is there a train? No, there's no train. And then I realized my body was in contact with the table, and so the vibration moving through my body was being displayed in my coffee. And so then I disconnected from the table, and I was like, oh, no, that really is me. And while those things can seem really interesting, they are not the end point of this work. It's not the end goal. And I listened to one of your other podcasts where you were talking about spiritual bypassing and ego and how we can get trapped in all of that. And so I think one of the things about all of this is that it can seem really exciting and wow, and so cool, and there's so many things you can do, but they're really, a lot of this is just symptoms along the way.
Can I ask you, is this taking place over days, weeks, months, years? What's the timeline, like time frame, just to get a sense of like how quick or slow is it?
I have a lot of trouble with time these days, but the initial experience happened probably in the course of about, I don't know, 20 minutes to an hour one night, but the ongoing experiences were, it took 7 years to really integrate properly. The first 18 months, I lived in a state of altered realities on and off all day long. And I'd been told, oh, it'll be about 6 months and things will settle down. But it was ongoing for me for a really long time. And then things did start to settle down more, but it was still very, and when I say that, I mean, I was a lot more in my normal reality than I was not, instead of that previous period where it was pretty much like between both realities all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's the point at which I'm amazed I didn't lose my mind.
Mm. Can I ask you there, what is that experience like? Because, you know, what you're awakening to, you've got this Kundalini energy, our life force energy, now very, very present in your body, very present in your life, right? So even as you described that incredible example of like sitting on the wing of the plane, like none of us really have that experience. So what is this experience here in the middle? Because I think we've really pointed to how this can really feel like what is going on in my mind, like my perception of reality is really shifting here. I'm sensing and seeing this other part. What is that experience like? What were you experiencing? Yeah. So we can really show for people listening, you know, to maybe get a grasp of, I think I've had that experience. Maybe I'm not crazy here, you know.
Yeah.
Don't have the background like you. It could feel really what's happening to me. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yes. So it's definitely not just something in your mind. It's something that is very physical, that impacts your physical body, your nervous system, all of your senses, and as well as the mind and beyond, well beyond this physical realm. So the first thing was just that I was living in this altered state. I was writing a lot of poetry because I was having ongoing waves of experience after that initial experience. So and there would be examples of things like the dropping of the veil of Maya, like time, right? So what does reality look like when we don't have time? And that one was quite terrifying. I remember that. And I had this beautiful experience. It was so funny. Like, it made me laugh my face off. People probably would have thought I was on drugs because I was at the beach just pissing myself laughing. I've had this moment where I was on the beach. I was walking down a ramp down to the sand, and there was a seagull flying directly towards me. And I just had this one moment where it was like, well, there is nothing, there's actually no space between us. Or if there is, it's also me, and the seagull is me, and I am the seagull. I'm looking at the seagull being me, and everything that exists is also me, and the beach and the space and the molecules of air. And, so I just had this incredible recognition of the unity of all the things, while at the same time seeing everything separately. So there is just endless examples like that in that time. It did get to a point, and we can go through that when we talk through the story some more, where life literally got quite dysfunctional. Like, I really would have been better off if I'd been able to just go to a monastery or something and not have any responsibilities, but I didn't have that at the time, and so I was just trying to do the best that I could, but it wasn't good. And life did get very much to the point where I could barely pay my bills. I could do energy work really well, but anything else I really was not very good at. Like, and a lot of it had to do with time. People would say, can you do this thing for me by this time? And I'd be like, yeah. And time did not play ball in the same way. So it got to be quite messy at that stage.
I was gonna share that What you're sharing describes a little bit what I experienced after my experience with the Bufo Alvarius, where it was just like in that middle space, and like I saw sacred geometry at that time, and it was like, how do I come back into the other reality after like experiencing this other thing? And it was like all these energy centers opening and hands, and mine wasn't as long as what I think yours sounded like, but I can, you describing it, it's taking me back to that time where I can understand if that continued on for as long of a time as you're saying it did, that see that being very challenging. And I guess I'm curious what started to bring you back into maybe a more integrated, grounded place.
How about we save that one, because that's a great question. Do you want to share your story with us first? Share with us what was this journey for you? What happened? And then exactly how did you begin to bring yourself back to reality and integrate all of that?
As I think I said in my initial notes to you, it wasn't just a Kundalini awakening. There were definitely aspects that felt like a cosmic shamanic awakening as well. So there's the Kundalini experience, which is that raw Shakti. And then there was the everything else that happened as well. And look, I honestly think a lot of this started happening when I was younger, but I didn't know any better at the time. Like in my 20s, I started having past life experiences and recalls. I had a spontaneous inner child healing that was like I was receiving telepathic communication about what I needed to do, and followed that process, and that really helped me connect with that inner child and also connect to a lot of the trauma that I grew up with but that I didn't actually recognize as trauma for a long time. And then I met my main spiritual teacher when I was about 27, and then I started studying with him. So I had about 6 years of yearly retreat practice with him. It was traditional yogic teachings. There was physical asana, but it was also philosophy, meditation, what's known as puja or ritual, and a whole bunch more. And I did actually learn about Kundalini at the time, but I do remember thinking, that's probably for other people. That's not for me, maybe another lifetime. I'm not in that space. And I did know that I was very sensitive. I always knew that I would take on other people's energy. So I've always had a lot of other experiences besides that. And eventually I took initiation with my teacher, and it was about 6 months after that I was assaulted. I ended up with PTSD that ended up sending me down the healing pathway, where I ended up meeting a kinesiologist and doing, lots of work with them. And then that kind of led me into my studies. But when I was in the first year of my kinesiology studies, I also had other awakenings. I had a big psychic opening. I found myself communicating with archangels, and they were like, we're here to help you with your work. And I was like, what work? I've been very busy connecting with, Hindu deities and Egyptian gods and goddesses, and I've never really worked with, our archangels, and, you guys are Christian or something, right? And they said, we're not Christian. and literally they are beings of power. They are here to serve us. It's just that most people don't know that. But I learned through the guidance of Archangel Metatron a whole bunch of stuff about helping people clear past life patterns. So that was really interesting, and that was going on side by side with my studies. And then I was about halfway through my diploma when my dad became unwell. He was unwell for a year before he died. He actually himself had a little awakening in that last year. The veils were dropping for him. He was seeing ghosts. He started talking about spiritual things that he'd never in his life spoken about. And then one day he said to me, so why do you have all these fairies around you? I don't see this many fairies around other people. And I said, and it was so weird because we've never talked about things like that. But I just immediately said, well, actually, Dad, they're not fairies. They're the beings that I work with. Some of them are archangels. Some of them are, my spiritual team. And, so they're beings that help me with my work. And it just started this incredible conversation that I never thought I'd have with my dad in this lifetime. And I was just blown away. It was amazing because, he was such a suppressed, emotionally suppressed man most of his life. So, that was really big. and I just arrived just in time to see, as he was dying, to see his soul leaving his body. I think that's what it was anyway. I watched this beautiful spray of golden light kind of departing from his physical form, and it was beautiful. And that was really, I think that was like the next trigger for the next round of all of the energy stirring. So I guess about six months after that, I started feeling really strange again. Like I'd done a lot of work on boundaries because I am so sensitive, and, you know, making sure that I'm not always walking around feeling everybody else's feelings. But I'd started to lose that capacity again. And I was like, what's happening? Why is this happening? And then I actually met, I'd finished my diploma in kinesiology. I'd actually met another teacher who I was going to do some postgrad studies with. And we both felt like, yes, we have to work together. And I didn't know it at that time, but he was the practitioner who also had had a kundalini awakening. And so we started working together and I was starting to go through those stirrings. They became very strong in the next 6 to 8 months before everything changed. And so I felt really lucky to have him. I felt a bit terrified, really, like, My main concern was that whatever was going to happen, which I didn't really understand at the time, what would happen, but whatever was going to happen, I was terrified it would happen when I was alone because I thought I'm probably going to die or something. So I don't want to be alone when this happens because I'll just be there with my cat. I don't want her like eating my dead body. Like it really, you know, it was something that just, I just was living in a bit of fear of the event. And so, of course, what happened was I was the opposite of alone. I was in an event. I was doing this program. Like, it's a one-off program that I don't think it's ever happening again. It's called Garment of Stars. And it was over a three-month period. There were lots of meditations, lots of activations and teachings. And I think it was like the fourth from the last one in that period of time. And I just, that night I was feeling particularly good. I didn't know why. I was just like, I feel like it's my birthday, you know, yay me. And so we did all the activations and we were actually doing an Osiris activation that night. And I thought, yeah, great. We're going to do our note taking after the meditation and I'm just going to lie on the floor. And that was the last thing I remembered that night until I finally got up off the floor again. And like I said, I'm not really sure how long that was, if it was 20 minutes, if it was an hour, I don't know. I was on the floor in a room full of people, I don't know, 50 to 100 people in a hotel conference room in the middle of Melbourne in the CBD. And luckily, though, I was right at the feet of my friends. And so except for a few people around me, most people wouldn't have known that anything was going on. But my experience versus like my friends had said, well, I was lying there with tears running down my face and my body convulsing. And that was literally all they could see. But from my perspective, wow. Well, I felt like I don't even know how it started. I just remember that the first thing I remember is this feeling of connection to the deepest parts of the earth. Like there, it wasn't like a chain, it was more like I was tethered to the earth but also tethered to the outer regions of the universe and then everything in between. And it felt like this continuous pulsation, like just strong, vibrant, pulsing, moving all through me. And I could feel the earth and I could feel the connection to the universe. And I also was pretty sure I was still in the room. I'm like, yes, I can still hear the teachings. I'm sure of it. But I don't think I really caught everything. yeah, so there was a lot of pulsing. There was also this expansion feeling like I was just becoming really, 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 really big. And I just really felt like everything, I was connected to everything everywhere all at once is literally the feeling. And there were so many layers to what was happening that I don't think that my conscious mind caught them all. But I do remember this really strong pulsing moving up through Anya Chakra, the third eye. And I get why people refer to the energy as a serpent, because there is this, the way the energy moves, like it does feel that way. And I really did forget my own name, and I forgot this small concept of myself as somebody in a physical body. I was me, but I wasn't this body me, you know? And there was also, I could hear the angelic host singing. Like, I have a lot of that sort of, the ability to hear those things. So it was like this beautiful choir singing through the whole thing as well. And it was very ethereal. There was also, I guess, I don't know, like, and what you said before, Amanda, like, where things ended up, I was found myself like at the very edges of the multiverse, I guess. And I was surrounded by my teachers, some of whom I knew, some of whom I didn't know. And we were literally watching the birth of new sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. And they were showing me how the sacred geometry reproduces itself, which is the expansion of the universe. And so I was just, it was like the happiest I've ever felt in my entire life. I was just in so much joy. And I was like, this is it, right? This is where we live now. This is fantastic. And I definitely know there were other things that happened, but they're not things that I can recall with ease. There's a lot of transmission on the telepathic plane, a lot of energy codes pouring into the body, but they're not like things that are conscious, and they're things that I think have unfolded in that time since then. I do remember, though, at one point I had this like really human thought arise, and I was like, oh, I came here with my two friends and they drove me here. It would be bad if I had to deal with my body. And that was the thought that I think started returning me. I thought it would be really rude, you know, to like leave them to deal with that. So I started trying to find my way back, but I really did not know how. Like, it wasn't the easiest thing to go, okay, I take a left here and a right. No, it just wasn't like that. But I was in, like, the facilitator of this program is someone fairly special. And so I think he just waited until most people were gone. He did a really good job of not bringing anyone's attention to me. And so I don't know if he was energetically shielding me or not, but I do remember that not too many people seemed to know. Most of the people were gone before he came over and started working on me to help me, I guess, get back into my body. And I remember him getting me to stand up, but my nervous system was just like, it was like trying to fit your foot into a shoe that doesn't really fit properly. And I remember just kind of standing there shaking all over, like literally everything shaking. And he was providing some instructions, but I really don't think I heard them. I had friends there who did, which was great. But then we had to get back to the car, and and I was walking, and as I was walking, I found everything absolutely hilarious, because I was like, here is the divine form of everything, and then here's this weird overlay. Look at everything in the weird overlay of everything pretending that it's not divine. And so it was just literally causing me to stand there laughing my face off. And so I don't know, we finally got back to the car, and then a friend of mine was like, maybe just sit here and have some tea, because otherwise I probably would have tried to get in my car and drive home. It was middle of the night before I eventually got home, and I just remember I didn't sleep for days, but not because I was in some kind of psychotic state. It was because there was so much light day and night. Eyes open, eyes closed, middle of the night or not, there was just light. And so I'd close my eyes and I'd try to sleep, and I'd just be sitting there going, well, this is pointless. Like, this, I can't, everything is just vibrant and light. And there was a lot of time where I was so energized. There was no sleep. There was so much light. And that was sort of the next few days of just being like, now I have to live in this body again. And I definitely had an experience for a while of really grieving leaving that more expanded state as well, because that was just, as I said, the happiest I've ever felt. And it's like, right, now I have to function here. How do I even do that? So I do think that these experiences are different for everyone, but it's literally like the, you know, you're taking off, imagine you've shaken up a bottle of Coke and you take off the lid and everything just goes. So I don't know that two people are going to have the same experience in each time. And certainly of the people that I've spoken to, everybody has a different way that they respond to those energies and those experiences.
And so then from this point, you've said that, you know, there was this 2-year period where then, you know, you're in and out of these energies. And yeah, as Amanda said before, you know, how did you begin to, you know, this is an ongoing process. And as you've also said, it's even been longer than that, 7 years. Yeah. What are the things you have been doing that have really helped you integrate these energies, work with them, bring yourself back to an ability to be able to function in, let's say, normal society, come back to normal yeah. life? Obviously, it's not normal anymore. It's completely different.
Well, it's as normal as it gets for me, probably. But yes, it's much more normal now than it was. So I was really lucky to have a practitioner that I was working with that had an understanding and is also really good at meridian work. So 5-element meridian work, acupressure, we do a lot of that in the sort of kinesiology I practice. And so, you know, in that way, he was able to help me stabilize a lot. But he was only able to help me to a point that he understood, whereas, you know, if I'd been in touch with my other teacher at the time or I'd even had that thought that that's what I should do, then it would be different. So it wasn't until later that I reconnected with him. But for some time, there wasn't a lot I could do. Like it was literally like the energies just playing out as they were going to play out. There was lots of other experiences, like I'd stand there in the shower and find myself just kind of merging into a drop of water on the side of the shower and being lost in there for God knows how long. So I don't know, like I'd be out with people and I'd be like, I can see that you're there, but I can also see that you are surrounded by galaxies. Like there's just multitudes of universes overlaid where you're standing. And that's a very strange thing to say to people, but luckily there were the sort of people that would understand those things. and I guess I had books, you know, from my previous studies, and I had a teacher that helped, a practitioner that helped me. And then I was just literally just trying to keep myself in functional order. Like there was a lot of things like the cranial bones reorganizing themselves. Like I thought I was going to lose teeth because there was so much movement through the cranium. There was a lot of ongoing teachings, and like sometimes the energy was just so strong that I'd have to go and just shout. I'd have to stand there and just let the energy out somehow. And so I'd find myself shouting at the top of my voice. There's lots of things I could say about that. Lots of poetry. And the poetry was like, I thought if I could paint, I would paint, but I can't paint. So what I can do is I can put things into poetry. And a lot of the poetry I would write in like 5 minutes, and it would be, they're short pieces, but lots and lots of that. And what else? At that point in time, I just saw my own kinesiologist a lot. I was seeing a lot of clients. I was just kind of trying to function. And the thing that brought me crashing back down to earth was my family estrangement. So I guess, like I said, I'd gotten to that point where things were fairly like unwieldy for me as a human, trying to do human admin in life. And to that point, like I wasn't able to make a lot of money. I wasn't able to do a lot of things, and I wasn't able to explain it to my family either, right? Like they aren't people who are going to hear any of this and understand it in any way. But I found myself having to ask for their help. I was single. I didn't have a partner. I didn't have anyone else I could turn to. And so I'd made this agreement. Okay, look, I'll go and live in the basement of the family home for a while. But that, it just wasn't going to work out, just due to so much previous family trauma and drama and karma and all the rest. And within a month, that situation had combusted. And like, that's a whole other story that I don't really want to share the details of today. But essentially, it meant that I was threatened a week before to be thrown out on my ass. And that's exactly what happened. And so luckily a friend took me in, and so I was sleeping on her little girl's bed for a few months while I tried to get my life back together. All my belongings were still in the family home, and I was just literally sleeping on a six-year-old's bed. And that was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious, actually. It was really hard. And it, with everything that happened, like the rest of my family just cut off from me. They just, you know, within a matter of weeks, it was like I had no family at all, and my dad had died. And so even if you don't have a particularly good family, like a particularly good relationship with your family members, it's still an incredible thing to experience just having suddenly no family. And so that brought on a lot of shock. And I think the shock really helped to bring all of that back down, crashing back down, because I was experiencing like orgasmic states and, you know, hearing angelic choirs and walking around just beaming at everyone because there was so much joy in my body. And then that crashed with this family estrangement. And that, yeah, that then brought me back down to earth. I had chunks of hair fall out of my head just from the shock of it all. And I had to really kind of start digging into my own healing processes again. It didn't stop that a lot of the experiences I was having, but it just the intensity of them decreased, because it's like, wow, okay, I actually had to deal with all of this stuff now. And I don't know, it took me a few months. I found another place of my own again, and I just started rebuilding my life, like spiritual counseling, kinesiology, naturopathy, like everything I could do for myself I was doing. Going through a lot of grief, and I was also just planning how to get out of Melbourne again. I'd lived in Sydney for a long time when I was young. I'd moved back to Melbourne, and I had at some point realized, I don't really belong here. I don't like the weather. It's too concretey. It's not my place. And I was really there out of loyalty to my family, but that kind of went away. So I was just kind of planning, how do I get out of here? So then I guess moving out of Melbourne, that was 2021, June 2021. And that really was the beginning of bringing the focus back even more so to myself, like moving out of an environment that had made me fairly miserable. And I was still having a lot of kriyas, a lot of involuntary body movement, a lot of spontaneous mudra, it was actually really hard to meditate for a long time even, because the energies were so strong. So, and I'd reconnected with my old spiritual teacher at that point, and he's like, you got to go back to the beginning. You've got to do some of these basic practices, like basic hatha yoga practices and short meditations. And so I started working with his teachings again, and that really helped me as well, just kind of having that recognition that this can't be it. Like, I can't just be meant to be living with these crazy earthquakes running up and down my spine the rest of my life. Like, that can't be what it's meant to be about, right? And he was like, yeah, no, like those are symptoms of not having clear channels, of not having done that work, right? And so you've got to go back in and do the clearing work. And so the difficult thing for most people who are secular, not in a spiritual school of any kind, is it's really hard to find teachers like that. Like, he's the only one I know of, and I'm sure there are others, but there's a lot of people out there who are pretending, who are good at pretending they know what a Kundalini awakening is. And they might have some buzzwords and some acquired knowledge, but they don't have firsthand experience, and they don't really have that understanding of the subtle energy bodies. So yeah, it became a lot about the rebuilding the subtle energy bodies in a way that gave more rigor to them. And so yeah, a lot of yoga, meditation, breathing practices, and just conscious intention on doing that work. And then, yeah, very much focusing on the physical as well. You can't actually leave the physical body out of any of this. So, like, I really think for me, maybe it's different for other people where it comes from the bottom up, but for me, there was a lot of purification top down. And now, like, in these last few years, it's really been me working on my physical body. So, you know, lots of detoxes, heavy metal detoxes, and other sorts of detoxes, and like finding practices that really help me. Like, the latest thing that's really helped me has actually been weight training. So working on the physical form, because really the point of all of this, or one of the points of all of this, is about that, like we said at the beginning, that retrofitting. So we're actually retrofitting the nervous system, we're retrofitting the body to be able to hold more light, to be able to actually have the soul inhabit the body. And so we can't do that when the body isn't ready for it. So it's been a long process of purification, a long process of rebuilding, and giving myself the right environment. So, no, like, I live on the Sunshine Coast now. I live surrounded by jungle and nature, and it's much easier on my energy and my sensory body than it was living in a place with lots of concrete. So, yeah, it's meant a lot of changes in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As you're talking, it's like, I think that experience, I realized that our episode of my plant medicine journeys hasn't come out yet, but we talked about the different ones that I've done. And first one that I did was Bufo alvarius, and it's this toad venom. And it basically, like, takes you to the 12th dimension. And they did talk about Kundalini awakening, and I didn't really know, you know, if I had one or what, but I think the fact that I was in Costa Rica, I was immersed in nature. And also something that they mentioned was salt water. So, like, immersing yourself in water and salt water to, like, help with the nervous system. Another thing that they had us do was rapé, which is this Amazonian tobacco and other plants, as a way of working with the masculine and feminine, like, which is, as you were talking about the Kundalini, isn't that the masculine and the feminine crisscrossing? Is that correct?
Well, that's the Ida and Pingala channels, uh-huh. And they crisscross the central channel, Sushumna. And then as the Kundalini awakens, they actually descend and travel up the Sushumna channel.
Okay. So it's like the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Your story is like helping me make sense of, like, what happened 2020. So 4 years ago now, it's funny how, yeah, like, piece, like, I think for people listening, possibly hearing a story that, possibly your story, where maybe they had something, but if they didn't have any of these teachers, right? Like, I think a lot of people are going to go to a doctor and they're going to get on something that's going to suppress those releases of energy.
Yeah.
And
that can make things worse, yeah, by the way.
Suppression
suppression.
Yeah, exactly. And so I wonder if hearing this and someone recognizes that maybe that was what they were having, and then if they can go through preparing the body, it can allow those energies to eventually release, have that awakening that wanted to happen but got shut down.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also met other people, a couple of clients I've treated that have had various levels of that happening as well. So whether they were in the pranayama stage or further along, like, I'm not really a judge, because, as I said, I'm not a teacher of this stuff. I haven't done the sufficient training to be able to say that. But yeah, like, there are definitely people out there having those experiences and not really knowing what to do with themselves. And they're, you know, don't even have the level of information that I was lucky enough to have. So yeah, I think that's the case. And I do think, like, you can have a lot of similar experiences with plant medicines, especially on that shamanic side of things. And so, like, I don't know if that stuff happened because I was already had a lot of those awakenings, and so there was a lot of that sensitivity to those things already in play, on top of the Kundalini. So yeah, I don't know what that would be like to have had that and not have had all those previous awakenings. I don't even know if that's possible, really. Something else I wanted to say, because I know you ladies have spoken about astrology. I don't know if you know anything about Vedic astrology, but there is a period in our lives that is referred to as Sarasvati, which is like, what is it, 7.5, 9.5 years of schooling by Saturn. And so I was also going through that, through all of this as well. So all of the lessons of like austerity and the ego and, you know, like things that need to fall away, like all of that was part of my journey as well.
Is that like the Saturn return? Probably won't.
It's different from Saturn return. I'm not an astrologer, so I can't really explain Sarasvati, but is it 7.5 or 9.5? It's one of those two year period, and there's three cycles in that, personal, family, and community. And so it's like it is traditionally considered to be a period of hardship as well. So, and it's not uncommon to have someone close to you die during those periods. So like I pretty much tick the boxes for all of that stuff as well, and had the Kundalini experience on top of that. And so, yeah, it was like just rip everything apart. And and at the lowest point, like right there where I was having that family estrangement as well, like that's when I was also almost killed by somebody driving illegally on the road. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, what the fuck? What are we doing here? But it was literally just everything has to go. Everything has to fall apart. Everything that you have thought is important has to fall to the side in order to see the reality and the truth of this life, which is so much bigger and different than what you think it is. You know, like that normal human template of life, that's what I call it. It's like there's the normal template that we've come to become accustomed to. And that's not this life at all. So, yeah, I just think, well, I'm a fairly fiery person, so maybe that's why my journey was so fiery as well. I don't know. And like I say, it's changed a lot of things. Like I now sort of feel like I probably fairly permanently live in a little bit of an altered state, but it's become so integrated that I can manage normal life at the same time. But, you know, when I'm working with clients in my kinesiology work, I, you know, days before they come, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see the issues, or I can feel them in my body or whatever. And then they walk in and I'm like, oh, so we need to talk about your brother, or we need to, like, it's just all right there. So, yeah, it's that is a fairly much a part of my life. But I can also, you know, manage to get my taxes paid and, you know, manage my life, which wasn't the case at one point. So, yeah, it's been a process. And now it's like I think I just have a lot more capacity opened up to make that possible.
I also wonder, you changing your environment, you changing your circumstances, right? Your circumstances maybe were not supportive of you living more in the energetic space, right? It's around concrete versus being in nature where you can ground, right? And so you can live in a more balanced place. I think that makes a big difference in terms of being able to hold both.
It's definitely so. I also have telepathy with trees, with animals. So like for me, being here makes so much difference for that, as you say, for those reasons. And just, you know, the ocean anytime. But I'm especially like I live kind of not right on the ocean, but lots of trees and lots of nature surrounding me, like, you know, crazy amounts of nature here at my house. And so I don't even have to go anywhere to have that experience of being immersed in nature, which is definitely very beneficial, because we are that, like everything that surrounds us, we are not any different from that. And we're just a different expression of that same divine energy. So, and definitely, you know, it's a little bit of a bubble here on the Sunshine Coast. There probably are plenty of normies, but they're not most of the people that I know here. So, you know, we do live in a bubble here of people with you know, different ways of thinking and living. So
that makes a difference
as
to
well.
Like have people where yes. you can be this version of you and not be looked at like you're an alien or,
yes, yeah. not be looked at like you're an alien most of the time. I do think that the reason that it takes such a long time as well is because it is impacting you on every level of your being. And, you know, you said before, Amanda, you weren't sure if you'd had a Kundalini awakening. I think for most people, I thought I had before I had, like, I think in the Pranotana stage, I thought that that was already happening. And, but then once it happened, it became undeniable, unmistakable. It's kind of like, you know, have I been to Bali? Yes or no?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I went to the 12th dimension. It's very much what you describe as far as like being in another realm. And so it's just like, it was the medicine that I took, but what's the physical experience that happened within? So it sounds like what you describe, but as far as putting that label to it, I don't know. But and then the aftermath of it being like, coming back into the grounding of the 3D world, back into the body, like you said, it's like it could have been 20 minutes, but it feels like you're gone for like it felt like I was gone for a long time. And to be shot up to like, you know, a different realm, and then to come back into the physical form, it's like, how does that even work? And so for to be so disoriented, I mean, just like you sharing this, I'm like, oh, that whole experience makes so much more sense now. So thank you for that.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, and I don't know if you found fairly permanent changes that happened for you. Like for me now, like I remember a time before I felt so much sensory experience in my body, so much of the energetics on a daily basis. I do remember that there was a time when I didn't feel those things, but that doesn't exist anymore, you know. And I have no doubt whatsoever about the nature of non-duality and the nature of, you know, this existence being part of all of that, even when we're here, you know, that we kind of forget a lot of the time that that's the case. But I don't have any doubt about that. And I also don't have any doubt of our existence beyond the physical form. Like there's no one can make an argument to me that says any differently. Like, I'm like, well, you had that experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, time is really, really fluid. It's like, I have, even for making this interview, I had to be like triple checking that I'm going to be on time to be on time. I literally always experience myself now as a part of the flow of everything. So, you know, I do feel the earth underneath my feet. I do feel the cosmos above me. I do feel my connection to all of the nature that exists around me, and that is always on.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like a turning point.
It kind of
that
makes everything.
I kind of sorry to interrupt you, but it's like like an opening that just changes. Like for me, I'll just say it was like a lot of things happened after that have continued. Like you said, it was like codes coming in, so it's kind of like things continuing to work internally over time. And so it's not just like that experience. It's like what happens in the time following, which is, you know, the concept of space and time, right? Kind of like if you try to think about it too much, it can make your head explode a little bit, right? Because it's like I still return to that experience that I had, and it like from a new place where I am currently, and it has new meaning from where I am right now. So it's like, it's still always working to reveal something new. Right. And so that's that spiral, the concept, like what you're talking about, time not feeling linear. Right.
Yes. And like, some, I guess for me, it's even bigger than that. Like I look at something that happened in this lifetime, and I think, well, it couldn't have just happened here and now, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are that kind of spirals off into previous existences and also into the future. And maybe other dimensions where different things are happening as well all at once. And so I think, well, we experience it as here and now, but what else has happened to bring that to being right here? So, yeah.
So beautiful. But thank you so much for everything that you've shared. Like, this is a really incredible story.
I hope it makes sense. I was thinking as I said a lot of that, I was like, oh, I hope I've made sense. I hope that didn't come out in a babble.
I think you did a really good job. Yeah. And I think you've really given, our listeners and for us as well, this better understanding of what an experience can be like. And as you've said, each individual person's going to have this, if they have this, it's going to be unique to them. That while you have described some very beautiful things, like a deeper connection to life and, you know, even how you experience the cosmos and earth all at the same time and this level of joy, that has these kinds of experiences, particularly Kundalini awakenings, do have a very big impact on the actual life we live, the 3D life we live. And, you know, from much of what I've read and heard, it can, exactly like you, have these very shattering impacts with how we actually function in the world, that can affect things like family, paying the bills, doing our job, because there's so much moving through you that you don't necessarily have, if you especially don't have the teacher, the capacity to just get up and go and do your 9 to 5 because you don't feel right, physically, mentally, all of it. Like you're in a different space. So, you know, if you have any resources that you can share with us, we can put in our show notes that could guide people to a place to start. And, you know, if they're feeling these kinds of things, because as we said, you know, to head to a doctor, it might not translate to a place that really gives you the support that you need. And for people to really understand that this is a deeply energetic experience as well as a physical one, that they can begin to explore ways to understand their energy and that they have it, find, I guess, as best they can, people to help them work with it just initially until they can find themselves, you know, someone who is truly has been through these experiences and can walk the path to guide you a bit deeper. Because I know from, again, what I've heard and read, that's such a big piece. And as you've really alluded to, someone that really does know, because they are big experiences to have.
I have actually, in my time as well, I have come across people who have said they know what they're talking about, and they may have enough buzzwords to make them sound that they know what they're talking about. But like I said, it's the difference between, you know, somebody can talk to me about visiting the local beach here and they'll describe things and I'll know exactly what they're talking about and I'll know that they've been there versus somebody who has read a lot and maybe talked to people who've been there but not been there themselves. And it's, you know, very much driven by ego and, you know, power dynamics, the reason I think that people might get into that game, and also the belief that they think they've had those experiences. And so, you know, I've heard your podcast about, you know, ego dissolution, and yeah, like that's all part of this story as well. And so we have to be really humble. We can't think that, like, I think I wrote a few notes about it. Like, I don't think that this is the best version of a spiritual awakening or the most elite or the most anything. I think there's like lots of different ways that awakenings happen, and not everyone will have that in this lifetime, but that doesn't mean that for those who do, they're better than anyone else. Like, it's absolutely not the case. And it's also doesn't mean that you're enlightened just because you go through one of these things.
Sometimes the lessons come right? Like now what do you do with this now that it's like you said, it's a humbling experience too.
Yes. Yeah.
What is life like now?
Through all your shit.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the real teachers aren't, there's not as many of them as they could be. I wish there were more. I'll definitely give you some resources that I've pulled together for people over the years, as well as my teacher's website that I think he has a lot of online teachings that can help people. One of my working theories about this existence and about this time that we're coming into, where there's so much more happening with awakenings for people, is that, you know, it's just the thin edge of the wedge. Like, we humans for a long time have lived in what I call like the shallow end of the kiddie pool. And, you know, there's this vast ocean of experience that we are. And most people have never even gotten out of the kiddie pool, even put a toe into the ocean. And so when we do, like, that's when a lot of these things start happening. And I think that even those things are not the be all and end all. Like, it's just the beginning. Like, we have all of this potential as humans, like beings that come into physical bodies, into this funny realm we live in. There's so much that I think we are capable of here, and we're just touching on it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah,
I want to second that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's, I think that, you know, let's have that as a whole new podcast episode, because I think, and what a great description, we're the thin edge of the wedge, right? Like, we're entering a time of exploring just how big that thick end is, if it even is an end there. Like, I think that just keeps going, right?
Yeah.
And that's exciting. And I think that's, you know, one of the beautiful things that can come from our awakening experience is when we've done all the work and processed all the stuff and however they happen, is that we really do begin to open up to this understanding of the potential we have here as spiritual beings inhabiting physical human bodies, and what that can mean for all of us. And that's what really gives me the goosebumps and lights me up. And yeah, so it's really beautiful to hear you say that, you know, I love that particular message.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Oh, we're really grateful. And we'll also share some links to your work as well. We didn't get a chance to talk about that, but for anyone who wants to experience you through the different modalities that you have, we'll have a link to Amber's work. I actually want to send my mom to you. So she lives in the Sunshine Coast.
I'm going to give her, please.
Your info. But Amber, thank you so much for everything that you shared. We're really grateful to have you on here. Yeah.
Yes, and blessings to you for this podcast. I think it's really necessary that we have these conversations out there now, instead of just small groups of people that gather. We are now entering this time where people who've never even meditated are having spiritual experiences and don't know what's happening to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for reaching out to us. And you're our first guest, actually, that one of us didn't know. So it was great to have you reach out to us through our application. And so thank you for being that person. And
my pleasure. Yeah. Like, it was just, I was saying, when I saw my friend do her interview with you, I thought, oh, I can feel that kind of impulse now to, there is a point now where I feel like I can share something that might make sense a little bit for people.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Amber. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And thank you for everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. To learn more about today's guest and view all the resources mentioned in this episode, visit our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and head to the episode page for this conversation. You can go directly there by clicking the link in the show notes wherever you are listening or watching this. Here on our website, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.